You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Well, now let's talk about future.
No! All right, let's... All right, let's talk future.
Future put out two albums.
Two albums in 2 weeks.
Very different albums.
Yeah.
First one's called Future.
Yeah, self-titled.
Second one's called Hendrix.
Yep.
This is a Nelly sweatsuit moment.
I was just about to say, yo, this reeks of sweat. And y'all killed Nelly for sweatsuit. Y'all killed him. Now Future's a genius. Man, get out of my face.
So, I actually think it's an apt comparison. I do. I think the way that it's released is indicative of 2017 more than anything else, right? So, that sweatsuit came out in 2004?
Yes. I was in tech school.
Right.
Yep.
So, the double album was the power, was still a power move.
1,000%.
Right. And so Nelly was an artist who he clearly thought, I can make two kinds of albums.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have two different fan bases potentially, and this is how I'm going to address it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Only
A-listers made double albums in those days.
As the music industry changed, it became sort of more like either the Drake and Nicki model where you try to blend it all in one, or the Fab model where you make separate small projects. Like you have like, oh, this is for my 90s heads. This is for this. But then I'm still going to have the big project. Like you use sort of the existence of mixtapes to put out your other thing there, right? Like 7 years ago, one of these albums is a mixtape.
1,000%. 1,000% this goes on Dat Piff in 2013.
Right.
12.
Right. But now with streaming.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you just put out two separate albums?
1,000%.
Pack them full of songs.
1,000%. As you talked about with the streaming and how labels make money and all that good stuff.
Is that Drake playlist really going to be 30 songs?
That's what I'm hearing. I've heard that from a pretty reliable source that it's going to be pretty heavy.
So that's kind of fascinating to me, right?
Because that's next week.
Oh, man. So that's really interesting because, you know, the existence for the visual arts, right, for movies and TVs, the existence of Netflix and how HBO has done it has meant that now talented filmmakers, when they want to tell a story longer than a movie, they go to the streaming services and they get paid big bucks. So why is it that we have streaming services for music, but we've still stuck to the notion of albums?
Yeah.
And for
yes.
a while, you and I advocated go short.
Yeah.
And while that makes sense from a quality standpoint, it totally ignores the lesson of the internet, which is that there's an infinite supply of everything, so just get it all out there and let everybody sort it out. So the notion of a 30 plus track playlist makes all the sense in the world.
And because sorry.
And especially when you have an artist that has a machine like how Drake has the producers and the writers and everything else and all these different singers and rappers, like get Division, like get all these people. Like sure, Division could and they did make a dope album, but why wouldn't you just put it all under one umbrella? And it's this here's what OVO did over the past 6 months and it's 40 tracks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you could even get to a point where you can decide, like Netflix, do I put them all out at once or do I sequence it? Like it's a 5 week thing. The first week is 10 tracks, and you tease it and you build. It's not albums, it's one playlist. Like there's all sorts of ways that you can be creative with this. And we've always been thinking about it in terms of albums.
Yep. 1,000%. I mean, you're probably the only person I know, and I'm sure there are people who think like you, who actually sequence their playlists as if they were an album.
Yeah.
For me...
Is there another way to do that?
Yeah, you're like, what? Is there another way? So what I do is, say, for example, I think the last playlist I made was one on Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis after the New Edition movie. I just found the discography, and I picked out all the songs that I liked, and then I even went and listened to songs that I hadn't heard. And I was like, oh, this sounds like I might like this. And then I just throw them all in one playlist and I just hit random and I just let them rock out. And if I don't want to hear it, I just skip it.
Ah, see,
but I get yours.
If I'm making a playlist, the whole point is I'm not skipping anything, but no, I hear you. Like I have to get over sort of my desire to curate. And I still think there's a market for that, right? I think we might end up in a world where like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do a 12-track album.
Mm-hmm.
It might make more sense instead to figure out, is this an 8-track project or is this a 24-track project? Or maybe we just get different options. But the idea that we're going to, you know, CDs were 74 and then 80 minutes long, so that's what albums on a streaming service are going to be like. It's clear that we're just going to break beyond that. But for the time being, we get Future and Hendrix, two separate projects. But we're you could see where this is going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So Future is the sweat side of the equation.
Correct. You are correct.
And whew, this isn't really good.
You say it is not really good?
No.
No, it's not really good.
To see who worked on this is interesting because, look, I think I like some of Southside stuff. There's a lot of Southside on here.
Yeah, I didn't know that Future and Metro fell out.
They did?
Yeah.
Because there's two Metro records on here, and not surprising, they totally switch up the sound of the album and give you a change of pace. Because otherwise, this is just between Southside and DY, who's another 808 Mafia guy. There's just a ton of 808 Mafia on here. And after a while, that 808 Mafia just sound just runs into the ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
where you're just like, okay, I get it. I've heard the same kick drum. Like, I just can't. Like, can you get me something else?
Yeah. And that's the fear of people who, you know, Drake could potentially do it, but he also has the potential of making a 30-track album that sounds very similar and you get tired of it and don't even make it through the 30 tracks. Even with these, well, how many records are on Future? 15 or something like that?
It's like 17, 18?
Yeah, 15, 17. Like the sound gets redundant really fast. But I'm not a Future fan. Even though the general consensus of this album was that people really didn't like it, they appreciate the fact that it's still the idea of we just got two completely different albums from an artist that we really like.
Well, and this album needed to be an album because he wanted to really put out Hendrix, but he needs this album to balance it, right? This album, the Future album, it's the sound that... So when Honest came out and kind of flopped a little bit,
mm-hmm.
He then became the Future that we now know, right? He had that run of mixtapes, then he did DS2... Then he did everything else. Like, that's what this first album is, right? It's him saying, I'm not the turn on the lights guy. Like, I'm not the guy who sang Honest. No. I'm Dirty Sprite 2 Future, right? And this first Future album that we got this year is a continuation of that sound. Hendrix, this is, I think, what Future wants to do, but I don't think he feels like he can go all the way there. And I think the numbers bear this out. Like, they're both... Future debuted at number one. Hendrix will debut at number one. But Future had more streams first week.
Mm-hmm.
Future has this sizable portion of his fan base who just wants to hear Future singing, you know, sort of rap singing about drugs over 808 Mafia beats.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
He is trapped by that.
Yep.
By the way, he has a song on here called Super Trapper, which is just... I was sort of hoping he would call it Trapper Keeper. I'm surprised he hasn't gone there yet, but Super Trapper is anyway.
So is the hook? You just a battle rapper? I'm an official trapper. You talking jibber jabber? Is that the hook?
I mean, he should just do that as a hook.
And just call it jibber jabber. Yeah. Absolutely.
There, right? I mean, it's funny. Like if you pick one or two songs out of this first Future album, it's like, yeah, this is fine. This is what I expect. But when you listen to them in a row. By the time you get to Mask Off, well, first POA, which is a little different, and then which that POA produced by Southside, that beat is disgusting. And then you get to Mask Off and you're like, oh, this is at least sounds a little different. Like it's such a change of pace because the first five, six songs are just like, they sound the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like in a way, I think, I don't know if this is true, but I can see how he might feel like trapped by that. Like he has to do that kind of album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because yeah. I think what he wants to do is I think he wants to be R&B Hendrix. He wants to Andre 3000 it.
So are you saying that because of what Hendrix was and the response to it and
I say that because the album called I keep saying the Future album, they're both Future albums. The first album does not sound like to me like a guy who is inspired and who's trying something different. Because there's ways that you can work within the typical trap formula and do something different.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that Future album is what I would call grade A future trap.
At all.
Right. But he really tried some stuff on this Hendrix album.
Yeah.
Now, they don't all work. But I want to give him credit because at the very least, he's trying.
Yeah.
It's really, I don't know. The Hendrix album is so, some of these songs are just not good at all. Some of them are so bad that they're good. But some of them are just like, yeah, this is what I want from Future.
Yeah.
So like, now part of it too is you have to sort of get past the fact that the concepts of these, some of these songs are just trite and dumb and the same stuff we've heard over and over again. I'm willingly looking past that and sort of saying, what are the melodies? What are the hooks? What are the beats? How is he rapping? Like, how is this actually coming out? You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. like a song like My Collection, right? Which is Metro Boomin and Q-Beats. And it's that sort of pseudo R&B Future. And the concept of the song is terribly retrograde, right?
Yeah.
But the song's not bad. If you can look past that, which some people might not be able to, and I get that, and some people might not even care, but if you can look past the fact that it's a dumb concept for a song, or at least it's a played out concept for a song, then all right, you know, this is at the very least, it's not, you know, sorry, 808 Mafia. It's not 17 808 Mafia tracks in a row.
Yeah.
You know, Looking Exotic, which produced by Southside and Jake One, and of all things has backup vocals from Mayor Hawthorne, is kind of cool and kind of works. Use Me, right? I like that song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fresh Air. So interesting. Like, it's definitely a single and it totally works, but it really shouldn't work. It has no, really shouldn't ever work, but it kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much of that on, there's pockets of that on here. Like, this is still too long. Like, in a sense, the, I know the economics of streaming make it so that he's encouraged to make these two full albums this way. A sort of 2011 approach where, if you can imagine an album that's half of Future and half of Hendrix, and he puts like a promo cycle behind it, would have, I think, been a much bigger project for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, instead we kind of get this. Some of the stuff that's interesting to me about Hendrix is who he's working with. Do you know who is all over the Hendrix album?
Who?
Detail.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Detail's coming back.
I mean, was Detail the one who kept not getting paid by... No, that was Bangladesh.
No, Detail. I think Detail had some money problems there too.
Okay.
But yeah, he sort of disappeared. Now, you know, he's... Yeah, I mean, he's on Damage. He's the one who's singing and interpolating Guy's Piece of My Love. He produces... He helps produce and write Use Me, helps produce and write Fresh Air, Never Miss a Loss, which I'm not really a big fan of, but he's got like 6 or 7 credits on here.
Interesting.
So there's two high profile features on here. There's the Weeknd record coming out strong, and then mm-hmm. there's Selfish featuring Rihanna, also produced by Detail. So the Weeknd album is, I mean, sorry, the Weeknd song is,
nah.
I'm totally over the Weeknd. Like, the Weeknd yeah. sound right now is done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so not interested in a Weeknd project right now.
Absolutely.
I know he just came out with an album, but like, if he's not going to switch it up or try something different, like, I'm just good.
Yeah, I agree.
The Rihanna record
is very interesting.
So it's really just one giant series of Instagram captions.
Yeah, it is.
But it might just end up being a hit off the strength of Rihanna in this particular sound.
Yep, I can see that.
Future is trying to hit the high notes on that chorus, and God bless him. It's awful. It's just awful, but he's trying.
I'll say, but nobody's really...
No, it's bad. I mean, it's oh my God. But you know, but there's a whole handful of records on here that kind of works, like Hallucinating, I Thank You, Sorry is Too Long, but it's dope. Solo is good. Like, this is the most I've enjoyed from Future in a while.
Mm.
Because as I said the last time we talked about Future, give me Pluto 3D Future, Astronaut Future. And that's what this is.
Yeah.
This is like, this is the logical sequel to Honest, which everybody yeah. like forgets about when they think about the Future like catalog.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I know that you weren't a big fan of these projects, but anything stick out to you?
I think from this aspect, I'm a fan of Clock Radio Speakers, because hearing your insight makes me want to revisit the project.
Mm.
and listen to it with a different set of ears, because I've just recognized that, you know, a lot of future is just not for me. You know, I think DS2 is probably the only project that, you know, that was cool for the most part. And that sound just gets really, really repetitive and redundant for me. So I need to go back and I need to check this out, because another project that we've been, or we're going to talk about today, or two other projects have pretty much been in my rotation for the last 2 months outside of my project. And I haven't really wanted to make time for anything else. But I'm going to revisit Hendrix just off the strength of you liking these records and detail being on it and him trying different things. That's worth a listen. I'll check that out.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about future?
Nope.
We skated through that real quick.
Exactly. Because I'm trying to get through everything that we talked about getting through. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm trying.
Let's talk about your man, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Taylor Gray.
Taylor Gray. Let's do it.
Two albums.
So, two albums in a month. Yep.
So yep. The first one is Taylor and Christian.
Yep.
Jacob and Judas.
Jacob and Judas. They were a rap group called The Elevationists with another member. Shout out to James. And, you know, they never officially broke up. They just went and did their own thing. And then Chris just kind of blew up. Taylor got back into it. And James actually the leader, or the one who brought them all together. So, you know, talking to Taylor, I know this was like a rap bucket list thing for him. So it was, I was happy for him to actually see him get this done. So, yep, this is Jacob and Judas, Elevationists. All no digital outlets, no Spotify, no Apple Music, just straight crowdfunding, which is extremely interesting to me.
Yeah, so I pitched in because I wanted to just see the process and how they, I mean, yeah, you know, Taylor can get my money. I'm not opposed to that. But I wanted to see, like, how do they involve fans? I was, you know, I put my Clock Radio Speakers hat on. We should make hats. How do we not have hats? Anyway, but
we're totally missing out on merch. I digress.
Yeah,
we got to get that together ASAP.
You know, put on my CRS hat and I'm like, all right. So they're, you know, they like got opinions from people about what do they want the cover to be. They were sharing, you know, sort of behind the scenes stuff in the studio, like standard stuff. I mean, kind of standard stuff for interacting with artists, but, you know, they really went for it. So I sort of thought it was going to be an approach of the album's done and we just want to do it this way. Frankly, like, it's just gonna be a little indie side project, no big deal, whatever. But it didn't seem like that. I mean, it really seems like no, they were almost finished with it, but they were still working on it as it happened. So
yeah,
I was just interested to see, like, sort of the process and how that all worked. I have track by track notes, and do you want to do track by track on this?
Sure.
Okay. So I want to get this out of the way. When you and I first sort of, you asked me what I felt about this, I sort of gave you the So we've talked on the show often about how some albums sound better in different contexts.
Yeah.
I do a lot of driving.
Yeah.
I'm driving roughly in, you know, 45 minutes to an hour each way to work.
Yeah.
So I listen to a lot of music in the car.
Sure.
This is not a car album.
What kind of album to you?
This is a headphone album.
Yeah.
And
that's hilarious.
I know. Right now,
just knowing them, it's just hilarious.
Right, now, some of our friends are listening to this and they're yelling at me. Sorry, but
I think you're good.
That's how I feel about it. You know, some stuff sure sounds fine in the car, whatever. But like overall, like it is to me what I consider like a headphone album, and I think that's totally fine, right?
Yeah.
I think that's actually good because sometimes you have that. I just don't listen to music as much on headphones as I used to. So I'm now a little bit more biased to songs that sound better in the car. I got to watch myself with that.
Sure.
Because like when I was working from home, what was I doing? I was listening on headphones. And yep. I had to purposely find time to go test albums out in the car.
Yeah.
And now I've got the inverse problem.
Way around. Yep.
So it opens up with All Joy.
Yeah.
Featuring Wes Pendleton and Jay Gibbons.
Yeah.
Produced by Wes and Christian.
Friends of the show. All friends of the show.
This is an interesting opener because it's two songs.
Yes.
Jay's, so I admit I haven't listened to as much of Jay Gibbons' back catalog as I probably should. I mean, he's got the same flow he's got on a very similar flow to what he's got on his most recent single. Is that like Is this still like the new Jay Givens flow?
Yes and no. I think Jay, in terms of flow, has always been this way. I think Jay, if he switched up or developed anything, it's how he's saying things.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, he is, like, you know when Jay Givens is on a track now. I mean, yeah. You always kind of do, but like, no, he's really like putting his own stamp on things.
Yeah, but I mean, even just the words that he's choosing to use, because a lot of people, their complaint about Jay is that he's over the head, and he can be. And he's essentially, I don't want to call it dumb it down, but he simplified his approach a lot. But yeah, with the music that he's making and the music that's about to come out, and compared to his older work, it's going to be day and night.
Hmm. So this opener, I mean, look, I like the first half. I think to me, the second half drags on a bit. I'm biased against songs that are long, and this first song is like 6 minutes long.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's this very Milhouse, when are we going to get to the fireworks factory?
Hmm.
It's a little too long for me.
And so the next song is Mine, produced by Christian Grey.
Yep.
This was sort of the first song, I think, that they teased out to folks who who pre-ordered.
Yeah.
I like this song. Nice beat.
Yep.
Interesting. You know, I appreciate that they put the writing credits out there. I see you, Cambino, on this. He's actually pitching in all over this album.
Yep.
But I like the song. This is a nice little, like, okay, getting into the album now.
Yep.
How do you feel about Mine?
I like mine too. I think Mine is super dope. I think it's super dope. I really don't have much else to say. It's a dope record.
To me, like, there's a whole batch of songs here that kind of took me a minute to get into. And I think part of that is listening in the car versus listening on headphones. But sometimes it just kind of grew on me. I think Jacob and Judas is a good example of that, produced by Wes and Christian. Had to grow on me.
Yep.
But it works.
Yep.
You feel the same way?
Absolutely. The first couple times I heard it, I was like, it felt a little draggy, a little mumbled and mundane. But again, just listening to the album, and even just the sequencing, the sequence story is hilarious. It works here.
Bad Things Good, produced by Daniel Steele.
Yep.
This hook gets the hook really brings the song together. Like, gets stuck in your head again. Like, it's kind of another slow burner, but I like Bad Things Good is definitely stuck with me. This and Blood Orange, we'll talk about in a second, but I like this. Like, we're sort of kind of getting into a nice groove here. I mean, I obviously, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I was a fan of, you know, Taylor and Christian's group when they originally came out, because I wasn't. So I'm not familiar with what their quote unquote sound is, but it's interesting to see sort of this mix of Taylor and Christian across the course of a whole album. Like, I think Bad Things Good kind of gets at a nice equilibrium of their sound.
Yep. If you hear a record like Coachella that was on Taylor's Sellout mixtape, it's a very, you know, Chris being as musical as he is, when you like reel him into that hip hop space, it's a very Ruckus Records 555 soul space.
Okay.
But he still has his musicality there, so it's able to sort of function in a unique way. And I think Bad Things Good is a good balance to that, because first and foremost, this does not sound like a typical Daniel Steele beat at all. That threw me off. I was expecting something totally different from him. He's way more abstract, and this just reeks of, God, it just feels like, I don't even want to call it Tribe because that's very easy, but it just feels like a record that would come on like Yo MTV Raps at like 10:45, like be one of the last videos they play of the show. But then it's very melodic and it swings and it works. I like it.
Blood Orange, featuring Jay Givens, produced by 42 North and Christian Grey. I'm not going to lie. It took me a minute. Like, the first time I heard the little International Players Anthem bit, I was like, eh?
What about that record that you and I did in 2007 where I used that?
It's in my brain still. So, like, okay. I'm like, eh, but it totally works. Again, took me a minute, slow roller. But yeah, definitely works. I really like the combo of Jay and Christian. I think they balance each other out in even like this sort of really bizarre way. So I'm interested to see what they've got coming up. But I like the song. How do you feel about Blood Orange?
Blood Orange hasn't hit me yet.
Mm.
I may be the only person in the world who's not crazy about it right now.
Hmm.
Especially the vein that we're, the run that we're about to get into is like all Armand all day.
Hmm, that's interesting.
And so because of that, I'm not as privy to the first half of the album as I am to the second half.
Oh, I think I disagree. That's super interesting. Okay.
That's fine. But Blood Orange is like, yeah, but I want to get to the second half because the second half of this album is nuts.
Well, Precious Memories, produced by Wit, who's out here trying to bait me with beats, apparently.
That beat is crazy, man. It's
a dope sample. Great sample. Great beat.
What's the better beat? That or Bruce Banner?
Banner. Mm. Sorry.
Yeah, it made me go revisit that Middle Clash project, and I forgot how crazy Bruce Banner
Bruce was. Bruce Banner's ridiculous.
Yeah, Bruce Banner's nuts.
I didn't even have to think about that.
Yeah, Bruce Banner's nuts. But I really like Precious Memories. Yeah, like this. It was different. It's good hearing that from Wit, because Wit you haven't really heard a whole lot of that from Wit for a long time. He's, you know, working just in completely different spaces than that space. So for him to go and, you know, to go record shopping with him and then to actually see him use a record is dope. So
I think, like, in terms of balancing out the album, like, to hear Christian on a record like that really balances out something like, you know, which sort of where this song sits, right, between Blood Orange and Mind Games.
Yep, absolutely.
So my Mind Games with Swoop and Cambino, produced by Swoop. This is cool. I'm not mad at
what?
This is cool. Cool beat. Everyone's good. This is a good album cut.
You're bugging.
Tell me why I'm bugging.
You're bugging. This is the best song on the album.
No.
Yes. Or at least the best beat on the album.
No.
Easily. Yes.
Look, I like Swoop, but no.
The beat is crazy. I'll say if it's not the best song, and maybe it's not the, no, it's not the best song, but yes, it's the best beat on the album, without question. Yes.
Crazy.
Anyway.
So I really like this one. Tell me what it is.
It's the melody. It's the melody that gets me. Like, it sounds like it's supposed to be a sample, but it isn't. And then those drums, like, Doc, how long have we been using breakbeats, man? Like, those are always going to work. When you, melodic breakbeats will always work. It will always work. And yeah, like, that's one of those, as an artist, like, you're mad that you didn't get those. Like, it has to take you a while for you to take your rapper hat off, because you say, man, I would have killed that record. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, the melody of it alone, like, the verses are cool. Cam's hook is cool. Like, the song is dope. It's good. But that beat, man, that beat is ridiculous.
So Get to Know, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Is it B-Reith? B-Reith?
B-Reith. Yeah, B-Reith.
B-Reith. And who's the other person on this?
Eden Mir.
Okay.
I've never heard of her prior to this album.
So produced by Christian and B-Reith. This song is not my speed.
Yeah, this is not a Doc record at all.
No, I got, like, you know, I know within about 30 seconds, I'm like, nope, this is not for me.
Yeah, it's not your speed.
Nope, not my speed. How do you feel about it?
I liked it better as a single. In the context of the album, it sticks out like a sore thumb, and I don't know if I like it or not there. But when they released it as a Lucy, I liked it a whole lot. It was super dope. But, like, this album being a very headphony album, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, put your headphones down, let's dance. It's like, I don't want to dance. You've just given me 20 minutes of, you know, deep emo introspective hip hop. I don't want to dance. Give me a minute. So yeah,
next up is The Image, produced by Peace 586.
Yeah.
I like this beat. How do you feel? you sound like you got something to say.
Yeah. I had a beat with that sample that I was going to make Chevy and Polymusic 5, and I've been sitting on it for like 2 years. So when I heard it, I was like, oh man, I can't even. Because the sample that I have is very, the way that the beat that I have, it's like, this is super like hip hop and you don't stop. And the beat that I had is very much like, I have way more money than you. Like, it was just very lush. And so for them to turn into that, just like, it just made me mad, man. It just made me mad. But I like this record. I like this beat. I like them just rapping. And I absolutely listen. Y'all don't know about Lauryn Heatherly. Lauryn probably has the most purest voice I've ever heard in my life. Lauryn is singing on the hook with Chris. She's also on She's on Black Male from the Glory album. And then she's also on, she's on a record on Taylor's album, and I can't think of the name of it. Exit Row. She's on Exit Row. But Lauryn, like, her voice is just like, ugh. Her voice is crazy, man. I'm trying to figure out how the heck I'm gonna get her on my album or on something. But yeah, like Lauryn is super, 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 and just, she's very unassuming. She's very unassuming. She's very quiet. But like when she sings, man, she's, so the best part of the song to me far and away is the hook. Written by my man, Jonathan Baker. Shout out to JB, friend of the show. And yeah, they killed that hook. They murdered that hook. I love it.
And Chris's line about Drake.
That's yeah, funny.
That's all I'm gonna say. And then the last song on here is
Sorry, one more thing. I did not need the cuts at the end. Did not need the cuts at all. It should have just ended with Lauryn, and then it should have faded out. I didn't need the we doing this for the culture. I didn't need any of that. I didn't need any of that. I didn't need KRS One on Jacob and Judas. I didn't need it.
And then finally, Give Love.
Yep.
Featuring Cambino, Journey Big, James Hasley, and some guy named Armand. Produced by Peace 586.
Some guy.
It's posse cut time, but with a light beat. Not saying that in a bad way.
Yeah, nah. We I was talking to Taylor about this. This was like a kumbaya posse cut. Like, we're not trying to kill each other. It's really like a men's retreat posse cut.
There's a campfire.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's an acoustic guitar.
I was gonna say somebody, let's be honest, it was the white guy, brought the guitar, brings Absolutely. It out, and is like, who wants me to play? And everyone's like, yeah, I guess.
No, we don't ask. You go real soft, and then right. All of a sudden, as soon as it gets quiet, then you bust in the song.
And you're like, oh, I'm sorry, is there a guitar? Oh, look, I'm playing a guitar. Like, it's like it just magically appeared in the person's hands. Yeah. Oh, it's a guitar.
Absolutely. What is that doing here? Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how did this song come together?
I
mean, so was it one of those things where they asked you to be on the song specifically, or was it, we want to get you on the album?
Yeah, it was that. It was, I got a phone call that said, I got a text that said, we're really trying to get you on the album. And I told them, I said, y'all are not putting out an album together without me. And they said, yeah, we're just trying to find the right record, which is crazy because I could have been on a couple of those songs. Get me on Mind Games, please, the remix. But like, yeah, it was one of those things where I got the text, and then maybe 2 weeks later, I got the beat, and it was like, okay, write about love, giving love to get love. And I wrote two verses. And I sent them both to Taylor, and I said, which one do you like? And he picked this one. And yeah, that was it. And maybe a week after that, I went to the studio, shout out to Joe, and laid one take hove, and the rest is history. There were some other rappers who were supposed to get on this record, and they backed out at the last minute. I ain't gonna throw nobody under the bus, but
they heard your bars and they were like, nah, I'm good.
I'm not gonna say they heard my bars, but I wouldn't be surprised if they saw the lineup and they said, nah, I'm good. And that's no gas. That's no none of that. But that happens more than you think. They'll say something that they want to contribute and they want to be down, et cetera, et cetera. And then the opportunity presents itself. I mean, just like the Clock Radio Speakers thing, when people say they want to get on the show, and then when it's, you know, time to, you know, set out schedules, people disappear and start, you know, double talking and all that stuff. It's the same thing with this record and a couple other records. People just kind of get quiet. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, dope record.
So overall, how do you feel about Jacob and Judas?
I really, really, really like the second half. The first half is good. Overall, it's a really, really dope project. And I'm very curious to know if it's going to make my end of year. That's what I've been thinking about.
For me, I like the first half better than the second half, I think. I think the Mine through Precious Memory stretch is strong, very strong.
Got you.
But yeah, Mind games is cool.
Just not gonna let that go. That's fine.
No, it's cool. It's cool. but that's not the only project we've heard from Taylor this year.
Yeah.
He's got a solo album.
And then the funny part is the solo album was done before Jacob and Judas.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. It started off as an EP, it became an album, and then by the way, we're doing an Elevationist album too.
I mean, why not?
Why not? Just get it out there. That's one thing I want to encourage all artists listening to the show, because I've had some behind the scenes conversations with some artists who are like trying to plan and, you know, I'm going to release this song and then I'm going to do this. And, you know, should I put this out? Put it out.
Yeah. Put it out.
I'm about to flood with a lot of music that isn't touching my album. I'm working on 4 projects right now. I have a lot of music to get out. Freestyles, songs, samples, no samples, everything. Turn up, rappity rap. I'm just going to put it out. Why not? So I to you rappers who, you know, the Beyonce days of just dropping and, you know, like those days are over. Like, just put it out. You know, the whole big rollout, like, especially not if you're an indie artist. Just get it out there. Why not? Because there's a good chance what you're gonna do is you are going to spend 6 months planning out this project. You're gonna put it out on a Friday, and the conversation of it is gonna die by Tuesday. Mm. And you're gonna be mad that you spent months on a project that people fake consumed in less than a week. Just put it out. Just feed them appetizers.
Don't put your music on a pedestal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We do it all the time. I do it with my beats. I put my beats on a pedestal. It's terrible. I'm sitting there obsessing over like which snare. I got like 25 different beats in progress right now because I can't finalize what I want to do. Just finish it. I can't even follow my own advice. We all do it. But if you're listening to this and you create anything, you write something, don't put it on a pedestal. Just write. Do you make music? Just make music.
Yep. 1000%. 1000%.
So Taylor Gray's in the way of me.
Yep.
Let's go track by track.
Let's do it.
In Your Blood, produced by AG. Who is AG? He's all over this album.
Yeah. I guess AG just hit, you know, that's what happens with rappers. Producers, you know, hit us up and say, hey, I got beats. Check me out. And just so happened that AG had a sound that Taylor wanted. And he's all over the project. This is a guy I've never heard of prior to today. I believe that AG... is cool with Tragic, and I think Tragic gave him a cosign. Tragic was trying to link me up with a producer. It didn't really work out, but Tragic is good for that. He knows just kind of people on the low who do good work. So I think that's who that is.
So In Your Blood, kind of a 2-part song here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sort of. More like a little intro and then, you know, a whole separate song, and then sort of it like fades back out again. Mm-hmm. I think I like it. Taylor is rapping his ass off, but I think I like it. I think it works. I'm not 100%, but I'm like 90% of the way there with this song. Yeah. How do you feel about it?
Yep, same. I liked it. It's not a record that I consistently go back to, but when I let it play, yes, he's rapping, and it's just, I think maybe because it's a little slow,
mm-hmm.
that might be why. I'm not sure what kind of has me almost on it, because I'm with you on that. But yeah, Taylor is rapidly rapping. I mean, over both projects, like he is saying a lot, and I'm 1000% here for it.
Speaking of Tragic, Amistad featuring Tragic Hero, produced by Wes Pendleton. It's like a whole friend of the show song right here.
Yes.
So let me get this out of the way. I don't really like the hook. Sorry, Traj.
Mm.
And for the beat, let's just say when it's upbeat, when it's got those energetic drums, Tragic and Taylor over that is all the emoji flames.
Yep.
When the switch up happens, I know it lets them do something different with their flow, so I can totally get how, like, as a rapper you hear that and you're like, yeah, because now I can do this. But just them over the with sort of the energetic drums, that's the song for me. How do you feel about it?
I believe I said this when we talked about around the time of the Epiphany of Marcus Graham, and I did Give You a Minute, which was a house record.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, faster tempos are coming back. It allows rapidy rappers Like when you get over that 97, 98 BPM, it allows us to just find pockets. And rappity rappers in pockets are extremely underrated and unappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are running really fast, but we are still playing with words and still saying things of substance, it's a beautiful thing. And that's what this is. I'm not going to fight you about the hook. I like the hook. It's a typical Tragic hook. And I think it's a cool way to bring everything together. But the verses more than make up for that. So, yeah, this record is dope.
Next up is Moral Tower, produced by AG. This is a good song. Like, I like this. I like the beat. I like Taylor on it. It's a good headphone track.
Yep. Yeah, Taylor is really good at telling stories.
Yeah.
In his lyrics, and this is a really good storytelling song into his past.
Right, right. You know, talking about his college years.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. I'm the one who suggested the slow down at the end. You're welcome. and to play with the drums and switch all that up. Yeah, that was all.
I'm just
that was
flexing all over this podcast right now.
A little bit. I told you. I said in 2017 I'm coming for my credits. I want my credits. But yeah, this is a good album cut. Yeah.
How do you feel about Comfortable?
I like Comfortable. Comfortable's cool. I liked it better. I think I may be tired of it because I had it like 3 months ago.
Mm.
But when I initially had it, I liked it.
So produced by AG, it's a little slow for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the hook is not really my thing.
Gotcha.
Taylor rapping on this is not a problem.
Yeah.
The tempo in the hook, I can live with it, but he's got better stuff on here.
I got you. Yep.
Okay. Jamaica West Magic. It's an interlude.
Yep.
Let's talk about Solomon's Porch. Daniel Steele. Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, this record, it's scary how good this record is.
I'm going to nitpick because I like it. I prefer the drums before he builds them up. Like when mm-hmm. the drums are simpler, it's better. But this is dope. Yeah.
Yeah, this record is crazy. And the things that Taylor are talking about, just really that.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here nitpicking drums. Like give everybody the Armand side of this.
Here's the thing, and this ties in perfectly with what I was talking about with Chance and Kendrick. Taylor's a pastor, and Taylor had grew up in a Christian household, et cetera, et cetera. And what I mean is that every single person who raps about the Lord has to sound like this. Everybody's in different stages of their walk. Everybody has different perspectives and different ways to present that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is for me, you talked about the Future album and with certain people having to like overlook things conceptually. I have a hard time. And I meant to talk about this with the Nicki thing and the slut shaming. But I'm having a harder time overlooking the concepts of a lot of these songs that are out now. My daughter's getting older. A really good friend of mine was raped this weekend.
Okay.
And she called me to walk her through what she should do. And so when we are creating music and just things that make light or that could produce where that's okay, you know, because 9 out of 10 rapes don't get, what's the word I'm looking for?
Reported.
They don't get reported. And that's scary. And so hearing Taylor rap about the things that he's rapping about, and when people say, well, where's God in this? Where's God in this? It encourages me because it lets me know that God really is everywhere. We're just not listening for him right. And it allows me to tackle situations like the situation I had to tackle this weekend with a clear head, knowing that God, the Lord, isn't out of reach in that, that the pain and embarrassment and everything that she felt like that's under his hand, even though she felt it. And so there, the second half of this, well, not the second half, but this and another record like in Your Blood and Moral Tower, like it, these records do it for me at this stage in my life? Because then after that happened, I had a conversation with my daughter about it. My daughter's my daughter's in middle school, and I have a friend who used to work at a middle school, and she worked at a really affluent school district here in Columbus. And one of the first things that they asked her to take care of was the drug problem amongst the middle school lacrosse team. There's a drug problem with a middle school lacrosse team.
Yeah.
And exactly, for you to be like, yeah, like.
Why would that surprise you?
Because they're in the middle school, Doc. This is an affluent district.
That's the key word, affluent.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. So it's an affluent school district. And the people that she taught, the students that she was able to get to talk to her about it, she was like, you know, the drugs, they would have house parties. First off, why are you 12 having house parties? Well, the house parties would be there, and they would get there. And the same way that, you know, you have out party favors and nachos and all that stuff, they had lines of coke already out, bumps already out.
Oof.
Like there, readily available. And even sometimes the parents would help them score it. So I have to have a conversation with my 11, soon to be 12-year-old, because I remember coming into middle school. I came into middle school from in Hawaii. The sixth grade was elementary school. I moved in the middle of the school year, and then the sixth grade in Colorado was middle school. So I went from video games and Power Rangers and all that stuff to drugs, gangs, girls, sex. And I had a really hard time adjusting. And I honestly, in retrospect, I never recovered from it as a kid. And so now I have to have a conversation with my daughter, who may still be ignorant to some of those things. She may not experience them yet, but they're coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. That's tough. If it's not sixth grade, it's definitely going to be seventh grade.
11 through 13 is just like,
it's crazy.
It's brutal.
Yeah. So I say all that to say, I appreciate records like Solomon's Porch, because I know that Taylor is speaking to places that a lot of Christians aren't talking about in the arts. We're starting at a very surfacey level. And that's why you're having so many people say that Christianity is a joke, because it's like, yeah, well, just, you know, you're having a problem. You have a drug problem. You got raped. Your father was in the church and he said one thing, but he did something else. Praise your way out of it. Just pray to God and it'll go away. No, you gotta walk that. You gotta walk through that stuff. There's still mental health. There's still trauma. There's all that stuff. It shapes your perception, your adult life, how you treat other people. And what records like this does for me is it takes it past the surfacey level of just running around doing, you know, getting some oil put on your face and slapping out and you fall in the spirit and you start speaking in tongues and spinning around and doing all this other stuff. Like, no. This is a real walk. This is real and it's authentic. So I appreciate that record for multiple levels. He wasn't speaking to anything necessarily that I'm talking about now, but it lets me know that the stuff that I'm going through, though I may not be going, somebody may not be going through it verbatim, and I'm sure there are people in the world who are, there's still somebody that I can talk to and relate to, that I'm not crazy with all this. So like, just lyrically, I always say Taylor's my favorite rapper. And I may sound biased in that, but it's more than just, hey, I have his number and we hang out a lot. Like, he's really speaking to some really deep places that I need spoken to artistically, that my pen won't go because it's my pen. I need somebody else's pen to speak to that place. So, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Radio, featuring Christian Gray, produced by AG.
Yep. What, Doc?
This is a Drake record.
Mm.
Sorry, boys. This, in terms of flow and beat, this feels like a Drake record.
Yeah, it's a Drake beat. I give you that.
Chris is cool on this, and I could see this doing well. Mm-hmm. But I'm good. I'm good. How do you feel about it?
I preferred it when it was just Taylor. Chris jumped on it after. And I get what Chris adds to it. I think Chris makes it less Drakey, but because he's not, I mean, because Chris can actually sing versus Drake, who, you know, Drake can hold notes.
Uh-huh.
Drake is melodic, but he can't like do like full runs and, you know, stuff like that. And Chris can. I think that's what takes it away from. If Drake could sing, he would totally do the record exactly the way Chris did it. But yeah, like this record is all right. It's okay. I do like some of the things that Taylor was saying on his album, the little shot about Khaled and you can still cuss and be a Christian and all that stuff. I love the tongue in cheek because you're not privy to it, but a lot of Christians will quote Khaled more in the Bible, and it's just really interesting to watch and unfold. So I'm glad he spoke on that because I was like, am I crazy? But I'm not crazy. But yeah, this record's all right.
Let's talk about Me Versus Me. Featuring Swoop, Kai, Keyshawn.
I think Keyshawn Furlow.
Thank you. Produced by Swoop.
Yeah.
Swoop's beat's kind of nice on this.
Oh, you like this beat?
I do. And Swoop's rappity rapping, but I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And Taylor's Taylor. And Kai and Keyshawn do nicely as well. Like, I like this record. I'm here for the rappity rap. What do you think?
It's okay.
No!
It's okay. I honestly, it's weird. I think it's one of those things where, like, because there are better records on this album, I don't go to this one. So I honestly, to keep it real, I haven't given this one a full spin.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because I want the beat to do something else.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm not sure why I haven't given it a full listen, but I'm going to the next record.
Yeah. Most High is dope. Produced by Daniel Steele.
Yeah.
I like it. But you really like it.
I love Most High.
Really?
Yes. This is easily one of, if not Taylor's best song. Like this rep
on the album?
In his discography.
Let's just back up a little bit there. First of all, it's not even the best song on the album.
Ah, what's the best song on the album?
Probably Solomon's Porch.
Okay. I'm not mad at that. Most High, yeah, Most High just does it for me. It's worship on the album. It's not talking about God in a situation. It's talking about God. And I love that. So yeah, this does it for me. This does it for me. So yeah, totally. And still, yeah, Daniel still definitely did his thing on the beat. Ooh, say that five times fast. So yeah, I like that one.
Okay.
And we want to end the album with Close, right?
Let's end it with Close. Produced by AG. Taylor's singing a little bit on this.
Yeah, he'll harmonize a little bit here and there.
I like this as an ending to the album. I like the beat. I just like, yeah, I think this is a good way to wrap up the project. I like this whole last run after Radio, actually.
Mm.
But how do you feel about Close?
I hate this beat.
Huh?
I hate this beat. The sample is really repetitive and annoying, and the drums sound really cheap.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like this record at all. It grew on me a little bit because Taylor like does his thing on it, but this beat by itself, nope.
Well, all right.
Yeah, nope. I get why it ends the album. I'm not mad at it, but nope. I think.
Okay.
Okay.
Well then, this concludes. No. So your favorite on the album is Most High.
Most High, Solomon's Porch, Amistad. Those are my three favorites.
Hmm. Okay. And how do you feel this compares to the last album?
Oh, it's better than Mocker and Monarch. It's the highs on Mocker and Monarch are higher. A record like Cold is still like ridiculous. I'm partial to Mike Lowry, Marcus Gray a little bit. I don't know. I mean, you know, excuse me. Hold on. Let me think. Yeah. Scapegoats was crazy. But, you know, Mocker and Monarch, the lows were really low and kind of boring and didn't age well. And The Way of Me is consistent, way more consistent. The lows aren't really that low. There's not a record on here where I'm like, I don't like, other than Jamaica West Magic. And that's only because it's an interlude and it's a, you know, boobity boobity fake deep interlude with the poetry and the spoken word and all that stuff. Other than that, like there's nothing on this album that makes me say, yeah, I'm good. So I think the consistency of it makes it better than Mocker and Monarch. I'm more so curious about the comparison of In the Way of Me to Jacob and Judas.
They're different projects. I mean,
yes,
that sounds dumb to say. They sound different. It's not really fair to say they're two Taylor Gray projects. Like, you know, Jacob and Judas really is him and Christian together.
Mm-hmm.
I might like Jacob and Judas more.
Mm.
I don't know. I think, again, like, it's funny. Like, I think, like, a record like Blood Orange, like I think maybe the, is this true? The highs on, I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Are the highs on Jacob and Judas better than In the Way of Me, but then In the Way of Me is better consistently?
Maybe. I mean, it's one of those things where it's funny, right? Like, because when I see a record like Radio, to me, that's like the, whether it's intended that way or not, it's like, it's called Radio. It's got Christian Grey on it. Like, if there is going to be a single, this would be the single.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the same time, it's like, it's a lot of records on this Jacob and Judas that they could have slid in as a single for Taylor. But I don't really think that they were thinking that way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Mine or Bad Things Good or Blood Orange. You know, I mean, I don't know. But I think that they really thought of these as two separate projects.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know. I wasn't really, actually, ironically, even though I knew we were talking about in the show, I never really in my head like compared them. Like, they're very different.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor's on them. That's about the only difference. I mean, that's about the only similarity. But what do you think?
I feel like Jacob and Judas is like, it's a lot of Chris.
Hmm.
Just melodically, musically, you just hear Chris all on it.
But see, I like Jacob and Judas better than Chris's last album.
More than the Glory album?
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting because it's like Chris took the lead on Jacob and Judas, and it just seemed like he opened up slots for, all right, Taylor, I need you to put 32 here, put a 16 here, you know, put a 24 here, and then just kind of let me do everything else. And Taylor was just like, all right, you know what I'm saying? And if that's their formula, then it worked. You know what I'm saying? So that's versus In the Way of Me, which is just very much like a hip hop album.
Mm.
Not a whole lot of melody to it, or not nearly as much compared to Jacob and Judas, and just much more rappity raps, not a whole lot of singing, you know, a lot harder, more in your face.
Yeah, and you'd think me, the way I make music, I would be like, you know, but hey.
Yeah, but nah, I think that's the difference.
Anything else you want to say about these two projects?
Nah, other than, you know, if I appreciate them doing the Pledge Music thing.
Yeah.
Sound like a bad idea.
Bringing it back to that, are you willing to discuss, maybe not specific projects, but how you're thinking about getting your music out there?
Asking me?
Yeah, as you are sort of getting ready to put some music out there in 2017, the world is changing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll probably have to talk offline. We probably can't do the other thing that we were going to talk about. But yeah, no, I'll unfold you. I'll let you into everything that's going on.
Right, so you're not ready to talk about that on the show?
No, other than expect some music. I can clearly say all I'm waiting for is a single cover, and you'll have something from me next week. And I'm shooting a video on Saturday. And you, if it's up to me, you'll have three, possibly four records from me in March and a mixtape. If everything works out the way that I want it to work out,
I had a heart attack for a second. And then I realized, oh, wait, you're not expecting me to mix this mixtape.
No.
I was like, oh, God.
Well, the mixtape, and even if I do have you mix it, hey. It's only like three songs.
Oh, I'm sitting here like, no. I guess I'm bringing my laptop. I guess I'm bringing my stuff to LA. I guess I'm mixing in the hotel.
I'll talk to you.
We'll talk offline. All right. So, we can table the conversation for later, but sort of this idea of, you know, as you approach this, and maybe when you start getting music out there, we can talk about this, but like, you know, is it all still, well, this stuff goes on SoundCloud and this stuff goes on streaming, or is it more of a mix, or you've got these, like, you've got Kickstarter has existed for a while, but now Pledge Music is trying this and it seems like it worked for them. Like, a lot of different options and avenues. So when we get to that time, it'll be curious to hear your answers about that.
Yep. I watched that and I talked to Taylor about it, and he kind of put, you know, a couple of batteries in my back. And, you know, a lot of this is his fault. And I just watched and admired and was a little jealous of, like, dang, you just had a daughter, you are a full-time pastor, and you put out two albums in a month. What am I doing? And I have a machine behind me. You know what I'm saying? So it just really made me put an extra bit of effort into what I've got going on. But it's coming, and I'm about to get really annoying really soon musically. So yeah, I'm excited.
We'll talk. Okay, so the other thing that happened this week in hip hop that we do not have time to talk about was the Just Blaze and Swiss Beatz. I hate to use the word beat battle because I don't know if that's what I call a beat battle, but we'll call it a beat battle.
Oh yeah, because here's the thing. Here's the thing. Doc comes from the school of beat battles. Like actually going to, you know, you, I don't know if you made it. You didn't make it to Red Bull, did you?
No.
Yeah, but actually going and playing your beats and performing and.
Oh, I used to take the train into New York, go drive to like random places in like Queens or Brooklyn to get my stack of CDs. I would get, you get beats, like beat CDs pressed up.
Mm-hmm.
Slip them in the case.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the place, wait, they let you in, you're passing CDs out to all these different random people.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
But I guess the question is now, how do you do that now?
I mean, how do you do it now? I mean,
like, okay, because
those things still kind of exist, but it's...
No, they do. But I mean, like, for artists who are maybe throwing on their own events.
Yeah.
Like, for a while, there was, like, those digital download cards. Like, those really didn't take off like that. But, like, do you still press up CDs? There's still an audience of people who want CDs. Like, how do you do that now? Do you go to open mics and perform and then sell your CD? Like, how does that work?
I can't even imagine selling I can't imagine selling a CD as, like, I can't imagine passing out CDs as a producer now. I'd be exactly. I would be like handing out like a business card with like a Dropbox URL on it. Like, I don't even.
Yeah.
Like, what else am I going to do? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You have to, it's weird because I haven't done a show since August, September or something like that. If not before then. And people ask me for stuff and I'm like, I'm not trying to pay for CDs. There has to be a different way and a better way for me to get my music into the hands of actual physical people instead of telling them, hey, go to iTunes. Hey, go to SoundCloud. It has to work some way. Unless it's one of those things where like in the middle of the show, you tell everybody to grab their phones and search for me in iTunes and buy my album right there.
I mean, I think, I don't know, you take the take the Chance the Rapper approach and make all your money off merch and touring.
Yeah, it's got to be on merch. Yeah.
I'd rather, you know, if you've got a real serious fan and they're wearing your hat or your shirt, not only are they giving you money, but now they're advertising to other people.
Yep, absolutely.
So we don't have time to really talk about the beat battle because what we're trying to find time to put together is the next Definitive 15 episode. So we are going to do a Definitive 15 on Just Blaze versus Swiss Beatz.
With a little Ron Browse in there as well.
Oh, no. And so it's not like... I don't know about you. I have all my. I'm ready, but we have been recording for 2 hours.
Yep, I'm ready. I've got Definitive like 20 for one of those guys.
Right. We've been recording for 2 hours. There is no way we could do it right now and do it justice and still stay awake.
Yep.
So
agreed.
We are going to try to find time. If we can get it recorded in the next couple of days, we'll just put it out. But look for that to come hopefully sooner rather than later. If you've listened this deep in the Cloud Gritty Speakers, thank you as always. We appreciate it. Hopefully more to come very quickly. And I can't wait to talk about it. Cause I mean, we're going to talk about like sort of the dynamics of like why a beat battle isn't the same as judging who is better. Like I got a lot of stuff to say about that, but
yeah, it's own episode.
Right. But I can't wait to see I can't wait to see what you pick for some of these. Anything else you want to say before we go?
Nah, I think we've said plenty.
Again, like I said, thank you everybody for listening. ClockRadioSpeakers.com for all things Clock Radio Speakers. You can catch us on 4th District and follow us at CRS Podcast on all the places where we're at. And yeah, hopefully you'll be hearing from us sooner rather than later.